Hey, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. You know, sometimes we think we're the first ones or the only ones who have experienced something, whether great or whether difficult, in the season we find our world and our lives now. We think perhaps we're the only ones who have experienced something that's so hard, so difficult, so bad. And I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves that there are people in the Bible who have problems like us. And we're not so different. And I hope that we can expose some of that from Daniel's life tonight and take encouragement and instruction from it. So let's begin reading in chapter 1 and verse 1. I know they're very familiar scriptures, but they're helpful to put our eyes on them again. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. And then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink, and then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all of the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Let's ask God to give us his blessing. Father, again, we thank you for this great opportunity to be together. Lord, we do not take it for granted. Lord, I pray tonight that you would use this time, these minutes in our lives to make a difference, not only in our lives, but perhaps in someone else's eternity. So Lord, We ask your Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to convict us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The once great kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, was no longer a world power. That great northern kingdom in 722 BC had been besieged and destroyed by the great Assyrian kingdom. And now, 122 years later, thereabouts, around 600 AD, the kingdom of southern Israel, or known as Judah, those two great tribes that had their capital in Jerusalem, now are also destroyed and carried off in captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to notice something that is very astounding to me in verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Make no mistake about it, God moves according to his will and his purposes, and God can give his people into difficult times. You say, preacher, thanks for the encouragement tonight. Listen, I want us to understand something. That if we are God's, we belong to God, God will provide, God will care for us. And God loves us, and what God does, he can do by his loving hand in our lives. But what I do want to dispel is that just because America is America, that somehow God is obligated to always bless and always take care of us because we're American. You forget God, and God will deal with you. And so God gave his chosen, God gave his people Israel into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Let us not be so arrogant that we think God cannot deal with us in a similar way. Let me give you just a brief history lesson. I love history. Daniel was most likely born at the zenith of the rule of the great King Josiah. We've had mentioned to us in these sermons this week that no greater king than Josiah reigned. I don't mean that his kingdom was to the greatest extent or that he was the greatest known personality, but it was a great revival that came to Judah under Josiah. And Daniel is born in that reign and under that reign. When Daniel is about 12 years old, Judah was invaded in the south by Egypt. And Josiah, leading his troops and leading his armies down to stop that invasion of Pharaoh Necho, is wounded and dies. His son Jehoahaz was made king, but he was an evil man and he was an inept man. And the Bible says that just after a few months, Pharaoh Necho put him down. Took him down to Egypt and set up in his place his brother Eliakim, and he named him Jehoiakim. And the Bible records that not only was Jehoahaz a wicked man, but Jehoiakim was a wicked man as well. And so Daniel, as a teenager, sees the great kingdom of Judah that had been so revived and built under Josiah. He sees the results of that great revival swept away. He sees the land changing. He sees new forces, new powers moving into the land that he loved. He hears Jeremiah preached. He watched Jeremiah become persecuted. 3 years into the reign of Jehoiakim, Egypt is defeated by Babylon, and Judah is then besieged by that great terror, that great horrible army, the army of the Babylonians, and their city is broken, and their city is destroyed, and their temple is destroyed. And at this point in his life, Daniel is about 15, 16, or 17 years old. Can I illustrate something to you tonight? If you're a young person here tonight, between the ages of 15 and 17, can I get you to stand? I know this is horrible. Can I get you to stand?
Good.
You're 15, good. 16, 17 years old.
Good.
This is the age of Daniel. When he is ripped out of the arms of his mother and father. Can I be brutally honest with you? It is most likely that Daniel sees his parents murdered by the Babylonians. If he doesn't see them murdered, he is literally taken from the home, no doubt hearing his mother screech and scream, maybe seeing his father trying to stop the soldiers. Sometimes we paint stuff too pretty. Sometimes we make it seem like Daniel just showed up in Babylon one day. Not so. He was taken from his parents and taken to Babylon. Thank you, young people. It's hard for us to imagine how much life for Daniel had changed. Not only did he see his city destroyed, but he and those other young people, the Bible describes them as young people without blemish. In other words, they had a strong physical appearance. They were well-favored. They were noticeably the stronger, maybe the better looking young people. Surely I would have been taken. And I want you to notice that these young people were brought not because they knew science. They did. They were brought so they could be re-educated. Notice with me in verse 4 again, would you? Just briefly. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. These young people were not brought because of what they knew. They were brought because of what they could be taught. And when Daniel and his compatriots find themselves in Babylon, it is because they have been chosen to be taught the religion of Babylon. That learning, that word learning is a very broad word. It means that Babylon wanted to teach them their religion, wanted to teach them their sciences. They wanted to teach them their law, wanted to teach them their history, their arts, and they wanted to make them over again in their image. And in their mind, they were offering them the opportunity of a lifetime. They were going to take them out of what the Babylonians considered to be a dead and old culture. And they were going to place them in a culture that was the mover, the shaking culture of that day. And they were going to make them over again into their image. And to do so, they had to strip away the old morals, and they had to strip away the old teaching, and they had to strip away the old elders, and they had to make them new into their way of thinking. Welcome to America 2020. Why do you think we are ripping down statues? Why do you think we want to tear down churches, even stained glass windows and images of Jesus, and I'm not for images of Jesus. I just want you to get a hold of something. Satan has not changed his tactics. Satan wants the young people of our nation, he wants the young people of our culture, and he wants to retrain them in his ways. He wants to give them, quote, the benefit of his learning. And we are literally seeing it come to pass before our eyes. Did you realize that in January of this year, it was normal? We had men's meetings. We went to church. We thought, man, Christian school is great. We thought homeschooling is wonderful. And we even thought the public schools, as bad as they were, well, you know, they would still teach some good stuff. And folks, in less than 6 months, it is as if Babylon has breached the walls, moved in, and we don't even recognize the world we live in, and I don't even know who you are because you got a stinking mask on. That fast. And we want to stand back as believers and bemoan it and think it is bad, and it is, but what we don't understand is it's happened before.
Right.
It's not new.
Right.
And we are not ignorant of his devices, and Satan has not changed tactics. He is still wrecking godly cultures, trying to destroy godly lives and make them over into his own image. And we're living it. And you and I had better wake up and recognize what Daniel recognized in that moment in his life. I have a 3-point outline tonight. Here it is. Daniel pondered some things. Daniel purposed some things. And Daniel proved some things. And they are incredibly appropriate for our life and our times. Notice them with me. Number one, Daniel pondered some things. Verse 5 says again, and I won't reread the entire thing, but Daniel understood that something was afoot. It's almost as if Daniel went to sleep one night in Jerusalem and woke up the next day in Babylon. And everything that he was accustomed to, everything that he was used to, had just changed. You ever feel that way? Everything I did in January, I can't do in June. And again, I'm a pessimist. And Brother Harper's an optimist. And he says it's going to be a better normal. I sure hope so. But I can't tell you what date it goes back to normal. I can't tell you what tomorrow holds. I don't know if schools are going to open up or not, do you? Boy, so far this is an encouraging message, isn't it? I'm just telling you, Daniel, when he woke up in Babylon, he had to think about some things. He had to think about, who am I? Where am I? He had to think about what is the direction that I've got to take for my life. When Daniel woke up in Babylon and realized that everything had changed and all things were different, he had to think about some things. What would he have thought about? Let me think about it. He might have thought this. One of his first thoughts may well have been, what have I lost? He's lost his parents, his teachers. He lost his room, his freedom, his future, his life. And the next thing that he might have said is, man, that's unfair. No one should have to go through something like that when they're 16 years old. Where is God? If there really was a God like my father taught me there was a God and like my teachers taught me there was a God, God wouldn't have let this happen to my life, would he? He literally had lost everything. He could have become bitter against men and bitter against God because of what he had lost. I had 2 granddaughters this year. I've got 7 grandchildren. But I had two granddaughters that graduated from high school this year. And I never heard so much moaning in my life from the Edwards women. This is so terrible. They've lost everything. And I listened to it for a while. And please don't hear me as being not compassionate. But I finally looked at a few of the Edwards gals and I said, stop it. Stop it. Are we so weak that we are crushed because we lose a graduation service? Is that what you think is the appropriate thing to put into these two young ladies? Now, I'm not being mean, and I wish they wouldn't have lost it and all the things that go with it, but I'm just telling you, is that the level of suffering that breaks us? I don't know if I'll get to go off to college. Well, I don't know either, but it'll save your parents a lot of money, if you know. Sometimes, folks, we've just got to say, Daniel lost his parents.
Right.
Daniel lost his home.
Right.
Daniel lost his culture. Daniel lost his freedom. Daniel lost, man. And he came to that place where he had a choice to make about, do I get bitter about this or do I accept this from the hand of God and see what God is going to do through this? Hey, he could have thought about, what do others have? Maybe there were some who were left at home in Jerusalem, and even though it was a terrible time, they still had their families, and they still had their houses, and they still had their lives as they once knew them. Daniel could have sat there and thought about what others had or did not have, and go through and wonder why his dreams were shattered and why theirs seemed to be intact. I know a lot of people that live their lives thinking about what they've lost and thinking about what others haven't lost. And I'm just telling you, that is not productive, my friend.
Right.
He could have thought, what could I have? Okay, here I am in Babylon. I got no ticket home. I have to make the best of it. I have to go along to get along. He may have come to the conclusion that he didn't cause the problem. And he couldn't be held responsible for what took place. And maybe the best thing to do was just get along with this thing. Man, we live in a world where it is so easy to lose our principles and just become pragmatic. Well, you know, everyone else is doing it. Maybe I need to do that. Do you know what Daniel could have done? He could have rationalized. You know what? I read one old preacher said, when you rationalize, you believe rational lies. Daniel could have said to himself, I'm young. I'm not smart enough. I'm not popular. I'm not powerful in myself. If I don't do what everyone else does, I'll fail. I better just get along with the program. I better follow the world's wisdom. I'll try to make an impact later. I just better go with it. Daniel could have thought that. He could have looked at the circumstances and rationalized and convinced himself that obeying God and being faithful to God in this circumstance or for this moment was impossible or unnecessary. But this is an unusual young man. And after pondering these things and after thinking about what he's lost and what others still have and what his future is, you know what Daniel decides? Here's what Daniel decides. My name is not Belteshazzar.
Amen.
Right. I've been brought to this place and they've given me a new name and they're giving me new classes and they're giving me new food, but you know what? My name is Daniel.
Right.
Daniel focused on the Lord. God is still God no matter what I've lost. And God is still God no matter what others still have. And God is still God no matter what I could have if I ignore Him. God is still God if I'm in Jerusalem or Babylon. I am Daniel. We live in the most confused generation that I have ever existed in. We don't know what we are. We don't know what we believe. We are blown about. And we need at this point in our lives and in our land to say, wait a minute, I do know who I am. I'm God's child. I'm a Bible believer. And COVID-19 and services with masks or no services at all do not change the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And I'm not going to start living differently because they are trying to impose different standards on all of us. Now, don't hear me as a dissenter and saying we ought to ignore every rule that the magistrates make. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I'm going to tithe. I'm saying I'm going to get up and read my Bible.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm still going to hand out tracts and try to win people to Christ.
Yeah.
I'm saying that I am still going to honor God in my life.
Amen.
Daniel just thought about it and said that's what it needs to be.
Amen.
Now, after he had thought about those things, it brought him to the place where he had to purpose some things. Okay, if those things are true, what does that mean for my life? We all know that great verse in verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat.
Amen.
Right from the beginning, he purposed in his heart the changing cities and changing circumstances and changing feelings did not change God. If he was to put God first and obey the word of God at the temple in Jerusalem, then there was nothing different about being in the city of Babylon. And he committed to God and to himself that he was not going to pollute his life in the ways and with the things of Babylon. I want to be careful here. Sometimes I think people read this passage and they read, I don't want the wine, I don't want the king's meat. Now, I don't want any wine ever. But just because Daniel said, give us pulse, this is not validation for a vegetarian lifestyle, okay? I think it's important to get that out there right now. Daniel purposed in his life and in his heart that he was going to reject the lifestyle and the supposed advantages of life in Babylon. God's word is absolute truth. It's not relative truth. It didn't have one meaning in Jerusalem and one meaning in Babylon. And so Daniel didn't procrastinate. When he committed in his heart, he committed his actions as well. And so he goes to the eunuch in charge of the young princes and he puts forth his plan. Here's what I'm purposing to do. I want you to not bring us the wine and not bring us the meat. I want you to give us pulse. And as far as I can study, pulse is vegetables. And I suppose they ate everything but cauliflower. But it's not so much the food that is important. It's who considered it wise to serve it. Can I say that again?
Amen.
I'm glad that he didn't drink the wine. I'm glad that he didn't eat the meat. I'm glad that they ate the pulse. But the overarching thing is not what was on the diet. It was that he, in that way, was making a statement, I'm not accepting the standards of Babylon. I'm not changing who I am. I'm not changing how I live. I am purposing in my heart that we are going to be Hebrews in Babylon. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. It's not easy to be a Hebrew in Babylon.
Right.
It's not easy to be a separated Christian in 2020 in where we live. But there is a way that we think it through and purpose in our hearts. I don't care if I look different. I don't care if I live different. I don't care if I don't go where they go. I'm not living like I'm a Babylonian. I'm a Hebrew in Babylon. And he purposed. Now I want you to notice quickly, he proved it. Look at verse 12. And I'll just use that. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. When every rationalization would have predicted Daniel's failure, God stepped in and blessed them significantly. Instead of falling behind the others, Daniel ended up elevated over the others. He was a capable guy, I'm sure. He was a smart guy, I'm sure. That's why he was part of the reason he was chosen. But make no mistake about it. When Daniel says to the eunuch, prove us, what he's saying is, prove our God.
Amen.
And we're going to take a stand for our God. And we're telling you, we're not going to do it the way that you think it has to be done. Prove us. And amazing, not amazingly, but astonishingly to the eunuch and maybe to the others, when it was over in 10 days, you know what was found out? God is God.
Amen.
And God can promote those who will stand for Him in the face of those who are trying to retrain us to become something they want us to be. Can I make us all understand a great truth here? We've got to make a choice in our lives. Christ or culture? Christ or culture? I get so weary of seeing 60-year-old, 70-year-old men taking on new methods and new ways. I watched one old guy, they'd gotten a praise band, and he was trying to clap to the beat and he couldn't. Now, that's a picture of the silliness of thinking we've got to adapt what we do. Daniel said, you know, I've thought this through. And God was God in Jerusalem. And even though I'm not there, God is God here in Babylon. And I've thought this through. I've purposed in my heart, I'm not going to adapt new ways just to fit into a new place. I'm not going to change what I once was just to make myself fit into this new culture. Well, brother, you're not going to advance. You're not going to grow a church that way. You're not going to have people follow that way. You're not going to be able to do it that way. And you know what God proves over and over and over and over and over again? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can still have a church that elevates Christ and rejects culture. You can still have a church that has honoring music and places preeminence on right Bible doctrine and preaching. You can still have that, and God proves Himself over and over that He can elevate that. Man, we better learn that lesson, because my friend, now hear me, I'm almost done. We're not heading into easy times. I predict in a year or so, in a month or so, we'll be able to take masks off. And we're going to have, at my house, a mask crumpling ceremony. Okay? But I'm not sure we're ever going back to the just comfortable little way that we can just be sweet little Christians in a world and nobody notice us. You know what I think they've identified recently? They hate us. And we're the problem. We're what stands in the way.
Right.
right. That's it.
Why do you think in states like North Carolina,
right.
Virginia,
right.
The Bible Belt,
right.
They have governors and circumstances that are worse than in Delaware trying to stop churches from being able to meet at all. The governor of Virginia literally said, snitch if you know a church that is breaking the rules.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's anecdotal. You're just kind of inflaming. No, I'm just telling you, this ain't Christian America anymore. And I just want to ask you, who are you?
Yes.
Are you Daniel? Or are you willing to become Belteshazzar to get along? Are you purposing to live by principle? Or maybe there's a way we can work this out.
Come on.
And we become pragmatic. Because here's what I'm telling you. As great a man as Daniel is and was, as great a guys as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are, and I love, they are some of my favorite characters in the Bible, can I just remind you of something? That when you purpose, a ponder, and purpose, and God is proven, the proof sometimes takes you to a very hot, fiery furnace. Oh, God proved Himself mighty. They were elevated above all the others, but the way they got there was on the plain of Dura when the king said, hey, when you hear the music, bow down to my idol. And there were three boys out on that field that day when maybe hundreds or thousands of other Hebrew children hit the ground. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, not us. Ooh, they're heroes, really? Let's walk their hero steps with them. Because those hero steps take them to the mouth of a furnace heated seven times hot. And I don't know about you, but I'd have been terrified. No false bravado in me. I'd have been terrified. And one by one, tossed into that furnace after they've seen others die trying to get them up to the mouth of the furnace. You say, oh, but preacher, don't you know the end of that story? I sure do. There was another one in the furnace with them. And they came out of the furnace and they didn't even stink like smoke. And we celebrate them tonight because they came out. But listen, taking a stand takes you in.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying to all of us, do we have the measure that it takes in a culture that in less than 3 months, 3 months, folks, went from what we thought was normal to where we are sitting in a room with masks, hoping they don't turn us in because we're sitting too close. What's it going to take to make you bend? Have you thought about it? Have you purposed? Are you willing to prove God? Oh, Daniel, hey, he was willing to prove God.
Amen.
And man, I love Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Oh, yeah. Just realize this, that when you dare to be a Daniel, they're going to lower you into a pit of lions. Don't romanticize that. Lions smell. Lions are mean. Lions hate fat people. We look good to them. I'm making light of it. I'd have been screaming, crying, And there would have been 10 points along that road where I would have said, you know, maybe to extend my ministry, maybe I could just change this one thing, Brother Fox.
Yeah.
Maybe I could see if maybe if I just didn't open my window when I pray. How about that, King? What if I just didn't open my window so that nobody else knew I was praying? Folks, I'm not being light on this. Are you willing to stand? Because it may well be that will take us to the fiery furnace and take us to the lion's den. Now let me give you the great hope. You know, the greatest experience of life is when you come out of the fiery furnace. And you have experienced walking with God in a way that others haven't. The timid souls that bowed down, they wished, oh man. When you walk out of the lion's den, you know something about God that very few people have experienced. They walked with Him. They saw Him work. They knew that the impossible had been done. And we think of Daniel and those three Hebrew children in such positive ways tonight because they thought about it and they said, nope, we're Hebrews, we're not Babylonians, and we're not going that way. And they purposed in their heart, if nobody else did it, they were going to stand for the Lord. And they proved it. Yeah, it took them in the furnace and the lion's den, but they came out and they were a testimony for what God could do in the face of a hateful, despiteful, wicked culture. That may well be where we're headed. And so I'm suggesting this tonight. Ponder it. Who are you? I wasn't saved as a child. I was saved as a young married man. And I remember the days before Jesus. And I remember the incredible grace of Jesus in saving me.
Amen.
I don't think I can deny Him.
Praise the Lord. Yes, that's right.
But I just plead with Him, be gracious. Help me.
Amen.
Help me stand.
Yes, Lord.
I'm telling you, we need to think about it. And we need to purpose who I belong to. Because it may well be that we'll get the opportunity to prove.
Oh, amen.
To prove that our God is great.
Amen.
And our God is mighty. That's what I would encourage you to do tonight. I would encourage you to dare to be a Daniel.
Amen.
We sing that song like it's a child song, but it's a great truth. Do you dare be a Daniel? Because the road for a Daniel might well be through the lion's den. Would you pray with me?